in the Holy Gospel from Jesus teaching with parables, the parable of the growing seed. So that's Mark chapter 4, beginning at verse 26.
Praise and glory to God.
Jesus also said, "This is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground. Night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows. All by itself, the soil itself produces the grain. First the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, the man puts the sickle to it because the harvest has come." And again Jesus said, "What shall we say the kingdom of God is like? Or what parable shall we use to describe it? It's like a mustard seed, which is the smallest seed you plant in the ground, yet when it's grown, it becomes the largest of all garden plants, with such big branches that the birds of the air can perch in its shade." With many similar parables, Jesus spoke to them the word according as much as they could understand. He did not say anything to them without using parables. But when he was alone with his disciples, he explained everything. This is the gospel of Christ.
Praise to Christ the Word. May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our Rock and our Redeemer. Amen. So in our gospel reading today, we had two parables about the growth of God's kingdom. They are both related in some form to agriculture at the time of Jesus. We may not be that familiar with agricultural practices at the time, so I thought I'd put the first parable in terms of modern agriculture and through that also related better to modern church practices. So the kingdom of God is like a farmer who prepares a field for a bountiful crop. He has his field surveyed with high-tech GPS equipment, triangulated with high-resolution satellite imagery to build a detailed map of the ground. The soil is analyzed in a lab, with the results together with regular soil moisture readings being put into a computer model. Before any seeds are planted, the ground is fertilized with bespoke fertilizer altered exactly to suit the climatic and soil conditions of the field. The ground is plowed and herbicide is applied to the field to kill off any weeds. Having consulted the seasonal forecast to determine the best time for planting, the seed is planted with a GPS-directed precision seed drill. The farmer continues to sample the soil at several key locations, and footage from regular drone flights is also fed into the computer model to monitor the parameters and the progress of the crop in the field. In spring, the computer model indicates the requirement for a further herbicide application. Later on, some more nitrogen needs to be applied to enhance the growth of the wheat. Soon after that, fungicide is applied to the tender plants. Further monitoring indicates that about 3 weeks later, more fungicide needs to be sprayed. A tractor with an extra large boom is used for the spraying. A final application of a combined pesticide is applied as the wheat ripens. Then the exact harvest date is calculated with reference to the model, to field observations and the latest weather forecast. The harvesting contractor is booked. And then on the day, the contractor is attended with several large combine harvesters and trucks to bring the grain to the silos. During the harvest, detailed recording calculates the yields for each little area of the field to feed back into the model. Several samples of the wheat are then sent to the laboratory for quality assurance and for detailed testing to refine the model further. Meanwhile, at the silos, the grain is passed through a dryer and then again stored in the silos that have previously been fumigated. This carefully managed harvest is successful. And so this modern parable can easily be applied to modern church strategies. If the church seeks to grow, we are told it first of all needs a clear understanding of the community in which it is to operate and the state of the church at the moment. A clear understanding of the religious demand out there is required and the likely approach that would be most successful. The strength of the church needs to be evaluated, and where demand and strengths meet, there the church can focus its efforts. Just as a soil scientist is required to analyze samples, a consultant may be engaged to lead a church growth plan. The basics need to be in place, of course, such as a welcoming building, a modern name, programs to sign up to, and most importantly, of course, the praise band.
A few programs may be handy to fertilize the field. For example, a mission action plan first needs to be developed. A natural church development assessment and plan may need to be undertaken. Church leaders, of course, need to be empowered through supervision, spiritual direction, coaching, and professional development.
The 3DM program can assist with discipleship. Messy Church is used to engage local children. And then leading your church into growth, or LISIC, is also used to give some more strategic directions. Finally, to pep it up a bit, resources from the Christian Stewardship Network can be used to increase the yield from parishioners. And all these resources need to be professionally applied to build a successful church in our age. Some of them come pre-packaged and only need to be applied locally. Others require a bit more local engagement. And of course, to have all these programs run well, the church needs to set up committees to oversee the implementation of the various programs, to support the church leaders, and to guide the many activities. As you can see, such a parable would fit both modern farming practices and modern church strategies. Clearly, Jesus could not foresee the complexities of modern farming nor of modern church programs. The only problem is that if we update the gospel in this way, we face the danger of concluding the very opposite of what Jesus was actually saying. For Jesus' parable emphasizes how little the farmer can do in the growing of the grain. I'll just read the parable again, just briefly. This is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground. Night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces corn, first the stalk, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. As soon as the corn is ripe, he puts the sickle to it, because the harvest has come. All the farmer needs to do is to sow the seed and harvest the grain. Everything in between is not of the farmer's making, but rather the product of the soil. The kingdom of God grows not due to the efforts of people, but rather because it is the good news. Martin Luther probably captured this well when he said, "I simply taught, preached, and wrote God's word. Otherwise, I did nothing. And while I slept or drank Wittenberg beer with my friends Philip and Amstorff, the word so greatly weakened the powers of the world. I did nothing. The word did everything. Had I desired to foment trouble, I could have brought great bloodshed upon Germany. Indeed, I could have started such a game that even the emperor would not have been safe. But what would it have been? Mere fool's play. I did nothing. I let the word do its work." What do you suppose is Satan's thought when one tries to do the thing by kicking up a row? He sits back in hell and thinks, "Oh, what a fine game the poor fools are up to now." But when we spread the word and let it all alone do the work, that distresses Satan. For the word is almighty and takes captive the hearts, and when the hearts are captured, the work will fall of itself. Well, it seems that today we no longer trust God's word, but need to package everything in appealing programs. Of course, Jesus' parable, on the other hand, could be interpreted to mean that we should do absolutely nothing, just sit back and wait for God's kingdom to grow. I think that would be a misunderstanding as well, for Jesus clearly sends us into the world, asks us to be his witnesses. But we must realize that God's kingdom does not depend on us. We can't force success. And rather than implementing various strategies, the most important task that we are called to is faithfulness. Jesus was confident that God's kingdom is coming, that God is at work in this troubled world and will see and that a seed has been sown that will grow into God's kingdom. So I thought I'll quote another German theologian, Helmut Thielicke, who saw God's kingdom grow in this world. He wrote, "One day, perhaps, when we look back from God's throne on the last day, we shall say with amazement and surprise, 'If I had ever dreamed when I stood at the graves of my loved ones and everything seemed to be ended, if I had ever dreamed when I saw the specter of atomic war creeping upon us, if I had ever dreamed when I faced the meaningless fate of an endless imprisonment or a malignant disease, if I had ever dreamed that God was only carrying out his design and plan through all these woes, that in the midst of my cares and troubles and despair, his harvest was ripening, and that everything was pressing on towards his last kingly day, if I had known this, I would have been more calm and confident. Yes, then I would have been more cheerful and tranquil and composed.'" This confidence and joy at God's coming kingdom is also quite clear in the parable of the mustard seed. Even though the mustard seed is not actually the smallest seed, it's pretty tiny, and at the time of Jesus was the proverbial small seed in the Galilee and Judah. And the kingdom, the parable tells us that God's kingdom may appear insignificant, its power weak, its methods not that convincing, and yet it grows beyond all expectations. In our reading from the prophet Ezekiel, it was a cedar that grew to astonishing heights with birds sheltering in its branches, probably a reference, as in other passages, that people from all nations would come to this kingdom. What is amazing is that in Ezekiel, this growth was somewhat unexpected. Israel was, after all, a small nation, a nation that just had been heavily defeated by the great nations around it and whose leaders had been taken into exile. And yet, unbelievably, God is to make something out of this, is to bring goodness to people far and wide through Israel. Jesus' parables portray the growth of this kingdom as even more significant by not talking about the cedar, but a mustard seed. Out of the most insignificant beginnings, God creates a mighty kingdom which embraces all the peoples of the world. So these parables give us hope to look beyond the small signs of God's kingdom to the unfolding of a great kingdom and finally to God's future when the world will be renewed and God will be our all in all.